Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I thank you for making us all victorious in your name, Lord. And I ask that you reach out and touch the brethren today and just show your mercy and your grace on them, Lord. Let your words from your scriptures grab and touch their hearts, Lord, and bring it to their remembrance at those times when they're in need. Give them a hunger to walk in the precious things that you're already offering, Lord, out of your word. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. Well, I'd like to talk about manifesting Jesus today. You know, we have the word in us by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of adoption, that brings us to the adoption of sons. The Spirit of the Son is to take us over, just as the devil seeks to take us over. The Spirit of the Son seeks to bring forth His glory in us, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And the meaning of that, of course, is that we have a weak vessel that's not able to walk in the glory of God. But the power that's of God is that Spirit that dwells in us. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus. How many of you know the glory is the life of Jesus? It's the Word of God, and it's born of the Father. Then it goes on and says, may be manifested in our body. Manifested not in the next body, but in this body. That's God's plan. Now, where do you get the glory? You get it here by looking in the mirror right now with an unveiled face now. Now, that word manifested means to cause to shine, to make visible in our body. The word manifestation is talking about the shining of the glory inside you. Man, somebody ought to be shouting. So 2 Corinthians 4 and 11 says this, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And the word here is phaneru, and it means to cause to shine, to become visible, which means the Son of God is coming in us. The Son of God is being birthed in us in this physical life now. That's the manifestation of sonship in spirit and in soul. The person who has walked in the manifestation of sonship in spirit and in soul will ultimately have the manifestation of sonship in their body. That's the fullness of adoption, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Then that's shining forth out of us. Now there's another similar verse that's found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You got to remember, you don't have a problem with sin anymore because you died. That old man died. The old sinner man doesn't live anymore. And you behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord right now. That's the faith that God's looking for. You don't walk by sight because you won't manifest Christ if you do. If you see your natural face in the mirror, James says you'll go away and forget what manner of man you are. You'll be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. As it says in James 1, 21 through 23, Christ is our life, folks. Colossians 3 and verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, well, you know, the very life inside of us is Christ growing in us, just like Mary had Christ growing in her. Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother, Matthew 12 and 50. Every one of us is pregnant with Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, that means caused to shine, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. As Christ is manifested in us, that glory is manifested in us because he is the glory, and the Father is the Father of glory, and everything that's born of the Father is glory. So now you see, the glory that's shining forth from, that's manifested. It's the glory of the star, moon, and ultimately, sun glory shining forth from God's people. Now remember that John called us children by manifestation because that's what we are until we manifest his sonship. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, what does that mean, to abide in him? He tells us in verse 24, he says, if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son. Well, what did we hear at the beginning? We heard the truth. Not necessarily what we hear nowadays, but what we heard from the beginning. And if this abides in you, you abide in the Son. By the way, it clearly says in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Well, how did he walk? He walked to his cross for one thing. He walked in righteousness for another thing. And he walked by faith for another thing. So he says in 1 John 2:28, and now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, you hear what it says, if he shall be manifested, manifested phanuru. And that, of course, is talking about his coming in you. Now watch carefully in verse 28. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, caused to shine, become visible in you, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What's going to cause you not to be ashamed before Christ except him living in you? The word there is manifested just like everywhere else. It says, phanuru, cause to shine. And the second word used here, in at his coming, refers to the physical coming of Christ. The first one is he's coming in you. The second one is his coming himself. So now it makes sense. Now, if that translation you got says when he shall appear and coming, then you're going to see him coming twice in the same verse. He ain't got nothing to do with that. It has to do with him coming in you and then coming for you. And the parousia, the second word used here in at his coming, means he's coming for the ones in whom he is phanurud. He has become manifested. And they have manifested 30, 60, or 100-fold of their sonship and of the glory of God. That's what it's talking about. Verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone else that doeth righteousness is begotten of him. The one in you who's coming forth that doeth righteousness, that one is born of him. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we children, not sons, of God, and it's not yet made manifest. Or phanuru, it's not yet fully shining forth from you. That glory of God is not complete yet. What we shall be, we know that if, there it's an if, it's not when, it hadn't got anything to do with the physical coming of Christ. He shall be manifested, or become visibly shining out from you. We shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And if it's shining forth from you, you're going to be like him. You're going to see him in the mirror as he is, manifestly, this time, and not by faith. That's clear to what the book is saying. And if he's shining forth from you, you're going to be like him, and it's going to be because you see him even as he is. Some people don't see the real Jesus in the mirror, and they don't have any way to come into the image of the real Jesus because they're looking at a false Jesus that has been described for them by religion. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Now, it's not talking about the coming of the Lord, folks. It's talking about his shining forth from you. And he's going to come for all those who have loved his epiphania, the shining forth from. And some people don't love that as much as they are Christians, as much as they like hanging out with Christians. The revelation of what the Lord has done for you and walking by faith as a true believer is what makes you a true Christian. Now remember, when the Israelites went through the wilderness, that many fell in that wilderness, but some of them walked through there as true believers. They went on into the promised land in their bodies. They never even died. So he's coming for those who have loved his manifestation in them, his shining forth of his glory in them. That's who Jesus is coming for. Now we see the verse again here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Verse 12, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Well, folks, this is the proving ground. This is where the fruit is born, right here. There is great deception and delusion that God is going to accept a people who have lived their life walking in the flesh. The deception is that you can do anything you want and go ahead and enter into God's kingdom. But that's contrary to what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's here that we are manifesting his glory and coming into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son, and manifesting his sonship. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and appearing, epiphania, the shining forth from, of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Folks, the life of Christ is actually the glory of God. And that what God is seeking is that glory manifested in us. That's what he calls fruit. That's what he calls sonship. And that's what he calls perfection also. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Manifested is a really good term because it doesn't give the meaning of a physical appearance. The meaning of manifested here is to cause to shine, to make visible. And obviously the life of Christ is being birthed in us, but it's not yet all visible to the world around us. And that's similar to bringing forth a child. There's a time when the fruit is visible and seen. The fruit we want, of course, is the fruit of Christ. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be made visible, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And we know that this glory is the shining forth of the righteousness and the purity and the truth of Christ. Glory concealed, glory revealed. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Y'all all know this verse. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. That glory is the life of Christ, and it's imputed to us by walking in obedience to the Word of God, and it becomes an actual part of our life and our nature and our thoughts. And we know that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that image from glory to glory. But the Word speaks about getting a greater and greater revelation of the Lord in the mirror that's slightly different. 1 Corinthians 13:10-12. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And folks, that perfection is the fruit. It's the glory of God. It is sonship. Then verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. He's talking here about coming to perfection and coming into maturity. And it's the same word being used, and that's completion. For now we see in a mirror darkly, and then we understand from 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we see Jesus in a mirror and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. But you don't start out seeing the clear image of Jesus. We see him somewhat, and as we grow in knowledge and understanding of the Word, we come into more of a revelation of who he really is. A lot of us have known a false Jesus, a Jesus who's not the real Jesus. We've had an immature idea of what Jesus is like. But as we discover his will and his desire, his power and his nature in the Word, we come into a greater revelation, don't we? The word darkly here in the Greek is in a riddle. And a riddle is something in which the truth is hidden. And the Bible's that way. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. He has hidden the face of Christ in here for those who really, truly desire to come into the revelation of who he is, to walk in that, and to see him in the mirror. It's a progressive thing. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. And he's talking about when that which is perfect is come. You see, the closer we get to the end, the more we see the true image of Jesus. And we come to know Jesus as he is, as we become more and more familiar with his word, which is his nature. And he is the word, right? Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. In other words, when that which is perfect is come, knowing in part is seeing dimly or darkly in the mirror, in a riddle in the mirror, but knowing fully is coming to know the true Jesus. You need to come to know him, because when you look in the mirror, that's your gift. You're reaching out in your faith to receive all that he's made, because he made reconciliation for you. He made an exchange for you. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, but now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So we're growing in this glory to glory revelation. And we're growing in the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So let's look at the stages of glory in Christian growth in 1 Corinthians 15:35-49. Now verse 35 says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what manner of body do they come? Thou foolish one, that which thou thyself sowest is not quickened except it die. So we're talking about the kinds of bodies that Christians are going to have. Then verse 37, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other kind, but God giveth it a body, even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. 39, and all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fishes. Well, what's God showing us here? He's speaking of the difference in the earthly flesh that all creatures have. So also in the resurrected body, there's going to be a difference. Verse 40, There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We are sown a terrestrial or earthly body, but will come forth as a celestial or heavenly body. That is, of course, a much higher creation than what we've got now. But now he tells us a secret, one that a lot of people don't know. 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. How many of you caught that? That there are different glories, a star, moon, and sun glory. And even the stars have a different glory from one another. Then it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, not everybody's going to have the same body because they're not going to have the glory when they're finished here. 42. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now remember what we saw, that the spiritual bodies are different. Then it goes on and says, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit that it is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. That's what it says in the original. In the numeric, it says the same thing. And in the ancient manuscript, it doesn't say we shall bear the image of the heavenly. It says, let us bear. And a lot of people like we shall because it doesn't give them any responsibility right now. But it says in the numerics, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. Where are we to bear the image of the heavenly? In the hereafter? No. We start right here. And as we know, God starts that. First spirit, then soul, and then ultimately body. Sonship starts first in your spirit, the spirit of Christ. Then through your obedience to the spirit, your soul is begotten or born again through the living word of God. And ultimately, if you born fruit there, you receive that new body. He's commanding us, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. So how do we do that? Well, this glorious body that we receive, that's the star, moon, and the sun glory body, are all given because of the star, moon, and sun glory life. That is a difference of rewards, and the Bible teaches that. Now, let's look a little bit more into this at a good example of God using these different glories as types of bodies of people on the earth. Now, the following passage deals with a dream that Joseph had. And after he had the dream of the sheaves of his brethren bowing down to his sheaf, Genesis 37:9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in mind. He thought, well, maybe there's something spiritual here that I'm not really enlightened about. But I want you to look at what God likened his people to. Joseph was likened to one of the stars who had been separated from his brethren for the purpose of reigning. God's doing that now, brothers. He is raising up a man-child ministry right now. And now I want you to notice that all of God's people are stars. But there's one that is called the moon, which is the mother in this case. And then in Revelation 12, the mother's position was standing on the moon. That's her position in God, standing upon the moon. And then she brought forth the man-child, who in this case was Joseph. He was a type of the man-child. And of course, the father here was the son. Jesus is called the father of eternity because he is the one who sows the seed in us that brings forth the fruit of himself of Christ. We see here that God is using the sun, moon, and star glories as types or groups of his people. Let's talk a little bit about the star glory. And if you want to look first at what these stars might represent, we can see that God said this to Abraham a couple of times, Genesis 22 and 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So here we are, the seed of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The Bible calls us stars. We all start out our life as star glory. But we don't end up that way, praise God. Glory represents righteousness. It represents the percentage of the life of Christ. And if you start out as star glory, for instance, and as you're first born again, you have a glory. All stars have their own glory. That comes into the parable more and more as we look at the moon and the sun glory by comparison. And in a way, the stars are separated one from another. But they have their own glory. They have their own righteousness. Every star has a percentage of the righteousness of the Lord. Because as we're born again, we get a new spirit. And that's a born-again spirit from God. That spirit is full of the glory of God. We had a fallen spirit, and now, suddenly, we got a born-again spirit. It's a new creation. It's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans chapter 8. But even though we have the righteousness of God, we have self-righteousness as well. And it's what keeps us apart, like the stars are separated. And if you consider Christ to be the sun, they are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and that's a good thing. But they are separated one from another. Now here's a different example that tells us about the stars in Daniel 12 and 3. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Folks, there's a great revival coming in these end times. And a lot of these saints are going to be a part of it. And many people who have had no glory whatsoever are going to suddenly walk in the glory of God in a percentage. And star glory represents the 30-fold percentage. There are three bearings of fruit according to the parable of the sower. 30, 60, and 100-fold. These were the ones who entered the kingdom. And so star glory is the beginning. Remember, that's the beginning, and it represents 30-fold fruit. And many will be turned to righteousness as the stars, the Bible says. That's the revival. Now let's talk about moon glory. After star glory, we've got another stage in which we have to grow. Again, the stars were separated one from another. They have their own glory. And this, in a way, separates them because glory is righteousness. We have some self-righteousness, and we have some God-righteousness. And that self-righteousness keeps us from becoming one. The next stage we grow into is moon glory. Here's a really good demonstration of moon glory in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We have to become united with him in the likeness of his death to reach that moon glory. The moon is dead. It don't have any righteousness of its own, but reflects only the sun. It has given up its own righteousness to reflect only the righteousness of the sun. That's all the moon can do because it's dead. But it's also one. Many stars are separate because of their own glory, as we've seen. Denominations are separated one from another because of self-righteousness. People separate from one another due to self-righteousness because they're immature and factious, dividing into and denominating from one another. Jesus prayed that they might be one, even as we are one in John 17:22. But instead, because of their self-righteousness, they are proud and they resist the word of God and they fight against their brethren. And through death to self, we become united with one another. That's the second stage. That's the moon glory. And like the moon, we become united with him in the likeness of his death. We also shall be united with him in his resurrection. And that's the sun glory. And as we walk through the phase of death to self, we come to the resurrection life that is 100-fold sun glory. That's completion. And that's perfection. And that's sonship that we're talking about right here. We're already sons of God by faith. But we're walking into it through the death, burial, and resurrection of that these three glories represent. Romans 6 and verse 6 says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. So death to that old man, death to the old self, that's how we come into the resurrection life of Christ. We don't have any light of our own, but reflect only that light which comes from the Lord. Now, let's look at a very plain revelation of the moon glory that we've already mentioned in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Everything is represented here. The sun, the moon, and the stars. This woman gives birth to the man-child. Now, he's the first fruits. It's called in Revelation 14. The man-child ministry that's coming forth is the first fruits of those who come into sun glory. And it's all by grace. And it's by his calling and by his direction. And it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. The woman here is the corporate mother of this corporate man-child. And the 12 stars around her head are her children. And it also represents the doctrine of the 12 apostles around her mind. There's lots of things you could see there that might all be correct. Because God is big. How many of you know God's big? And he can hide an awful lot of things in a revelation. And obviously, moon glory is not yet perfect, nor is star glory. And God tells us so in Job. Neither of these are quite clean in his eyes, nor quite finished in his eyes. Job 25 and 5 says, behold, even the moon hath no brightness, and the stars are not pure in his sight. God's looking for something greater than moon glory and greater than star glory. He's looking for the resurrected life of Christ in all of us, which is the most brilliant glory. And he goes on to say, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man that is a worm. God looks on lost man as a creature of the dirt, of the earth, as nothing more than a worm. And obviously this dirt is made to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. And that's His purpose. And without that, we're not fulfilling the will of God. We're growing, and the people of God will grow through this process, especially in the days to come, from star glory to moon glory, all the way into sun glory. Isaiah has a really good revelation of this growth that's going to come to pass in the tribulation to come. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Praise God. Those who go through this death to self will come into the resurrection life, which is what we just read in Romans chapter 6, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days. Sevenfold here means that God's going to bring forth fruit out of all the church, all 7 churches. He's going to bring forth a fruit out of them that will come into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, not all is going to come into sun glory, but it will be spread throughout the church. So it'll be the whole sevenfold. Also, it will be as the light of 7 days, meaning the tribulation period. And the time that the Bible calls the tribulation period is the time of the most growth for God's people, because they're going to go through their wilderness experience. They're learning to give up themselves, learning to come into a faith relationship with God in the wilderness. And spiritual growth is going to be extremely fast at that time because of the great latter rain outpouring. And that comes on the morning of the 3rd day. Like Hosea said, Isaiah 30 and 26 again. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the hurt of His people and heals the stroke of their wound. God's going to heal His people. He's going to bind up all that was broken. Now remember the Isaiah 61 anointing of Jesus. Isaiah 61 and 1 said, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. God's going to restore His lame, blind people who are walking as lame and blind. God is going to restore all that in these days. He called it the latter rain. He said that it would be restoration of all the things that the pommel worm, the locust, the canker worms, and the caterpillar had taken from His crop for all these years in Joel 1 and 4. This is the greatest promise of God that's going to come forth in these days, and that's happening. Now, how is this growth going to take effect? Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of mine own. There it is right there. He's not going to settle for star glory, which separates Him from His brethren. And then it goes on and says, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This glory, which is righteousness shining forth from us, is coming because of our faith in God, not because of our works or our ability. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that's the sun glory, and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death. That's the unity that God is going to bring His people to, through death. And this wilderness is a death experience in order to bring God's people into His presence. And this unity is going to be that moon glory that brings us to the resurrection life. What is that resurrection life? Verse 11. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already made perfect, but this is what the resurrection life is. It's perfection. It's the sun glory. And it goes on and says, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Well, how did He lay hold on us? Hebrews 10 and 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected us. Now we're seeing perfection as resurrection life. And we're seen as the Sun Glory people who are going to enter into this. The Sun Glory is the next stage. That's the big stage. 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. When you're in your star glory, the dark place is your soul, because it's the next part of you that needs to be sanctified. God gives us a new spirit first, so that we'll have the power, we have that connection, and we have a discernment and ability to walk with Him. Now the next stage is having your soul born again through your obedience to the truth, which is what Peter said, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. In other words, when you obey your spirit, your soul will be born again. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, or born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The brightest part of you, the most connected with God part of you, is your spirit. And your soul needs to take on the life of that spirit. So your lamp, or your spirit, is shining forth with the oil, the light of the Spirit of God, into your soul to regenerate your soul. And what does Peter say? 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's where we get the word phosphorus. Day star comes from the phosphorus. That means light bearing. The archaic meaning of day star was the sun. So when we're talking about the day star arising in your heart, we're talking about the Sun Glory being manifested in you. There was an occultic reason for it, but in latter times, people began to call Venus the light bearer. That's ridiculous. Get up in the morning and see if you can see Venus. Are you looking for Venus, or do you see the light bearer, and that's the sun? So we have a little bit of evidence here, and also we have the words morning star. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent by an angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star. The Lord is our bright morning star. So that's another meaning for the glory of the sun. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we have an end. We have a purpose, don't we? Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the righteous is as a dawning light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The dawning light brings you into the perfect light. And what's the perfect light? It's not the evening. It's midday. It's noon, isn't it? We have more and more of the light in our life and less shadow. The least shadow is at the perfect day. And that's when the sun rides straight up overhead of you. And that's our life, when we're walking in nothing but the light of God's word. And this word of prophecy made more sure. Excuse me. The word which was given to beget our soul unto him. We're called to manifest Christ in spirit and soul. And while we walk in this body, and those are stages, while we walk in this body, we're putting on Christ. We're putting on that bright garment. And are we talking about a garment for the flesh? No, we're talking about a garment for the soul, glory to God. Romans 13:11 says, and this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. What's your works? Well, faith without works is dead. It's incomplete. The fruit of faith is works. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. That's the works. But they are the works that are birthed from your Spirit. And that's why they're called the fruit of the Spirit. And they're birthed by everyone who walks by faith. So works is the fruit of faith. Don't tell me that you got faith and you don't have works. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, I by my works will show thee my faith. Now, we're not talking about the works of man or the works of the law. We're talking about the works of God through you. And if you walk by faith, you'll have the works of God. Romans 13 and 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of the light. Now, notice that as you put on the works of light, you're casting off the works of darkness. That's a garment. You're taking off one garment and putting on another called the armor of light. It's not only the works of light, it's the armor of light. Because the armor of light is a protection against the enemy that so wants to drag you down. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we put on that armor of light. We put on the salvation he's talking about, which is Jesus Christ. And if you put on the works of the devil, you're putting on the works of darkness. Verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're putting on a garment, the Bible calls it. And we're warned that God doesn't want that garment to be polluted or stained either. Jude chapter 1 verse 23, and some saved, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can have the works of darkness on your clean garment, and you are to hate the works of darkness. We're supposed to turn away from them, cast them down, and cast off that garment and put on the garment that the Lord has commanded us to wear. That's what sanctification is. That's what perfection is. And that's what putting on the works of Christ is. And we need to constantly be putting on the works of Christ as we read and study the Word of God. Now, we know that there are stages of perfection even at the end. Revelation 19 and 7. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad. And let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, notice that it says herself. You know, we have the authority of God to do this. Romans 8 and 13. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You have to take the authority of God and the power of God's Spirit to do this. And if you don't cooperate, it won't be done. So it's up to you to do what God's given you to do. He's given you the authority, Revelation 19 and 8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright. Now that word there is lampros, radiant. It means radiant. And it goes on and says, and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. We're putting on the garment of light in the spiritual realm. And we're doing this because many people have already seen it. And I want you to notice that those who are bidden or invited to the marriage supper don't have the same garment. The bride has this garment. Now, there's a difference between the bride and the virgins and between the bride and those bidden to the marriage supper. Revelation 19 and 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't invite the bride, obviously. She's one of the ones doing the inviting. But there are people who will come to the marriage feast and won't be in the bride. The scripture teaches that very plainly. The virgins are not a part of the bride, contrary to popular thinking. But these people are also riding white horses to finish off the enemies of God. 14. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. There's that fine linen again, except this time the word is white, which is leukos, not lampros. Lampros means brilliant. It doesn't have the glory of the lampros garment. Glory is radiant, and this is leukos. They're invited, but they're not the bride. The bride is the sun glory, and God's plan is that he has given to us everything that we need to enter into sun glory. And a lot of people don't cooperate. Many don't accept the faith or the knowledge that's been given unto them. They run after idols. They don't have time for God or for his word to renew their mind. And so they sell themselves short. And since we're seeing that works have everything to do with star, moon, and sun glory, there is a difference in reward, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. And we see it also here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Glory to God. The glory is what we're talking about. This brilliance, this brightness, this sun glory that we're coming into. The tribulations that we go through are to bring us into his glory. And now we need to cooperate in these. God will send plenty of people to help us, to put us on our cross. We go through suffering for the purpose of Christ's life being manifested in us. And we need to cooperate with him in it, because this more eternal weight of glory only works while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we call the things that are not as though they were, right? Romans 4 and 17. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We accept our Son, glory, from the very beginning. Christ is the one who lives in us, and that's why we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That's a faith. That's looking. Not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And that's you have to do, because it is faith that brings about this manifestation of the Son glory. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.